Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 1800s, there was a young man who suffered much tragedy in his life and much loss. He had been married twice. First, at the age of 24, his wife Mary would get pregnant about 3.5 years into their marriage. And just after their 4th anniversary, she would miscarry the child and get very sick, and she would die. He would marry again 12 years later at the age of 36. Him and his second wife, Fanny, would have 6 children. While his wife was working on a task, her dress would catch fire. While trying to save his wife's life, he would get burned and become disfigured. His wife would succumb to her injuries and die. Later, his oldest son, Charles, despite his father's begging of him not to, would join the fight in the Civil War in 1863. After begging him not to, Charles, in battle, would be severely injured as a bullet would pass by his spinal column very closely. Thankfully, it did not hit him there, and he would survive his injuries. But his time in the military was over. This young man and Harvard professor was the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote the solemn poem Christmas Bells, which would later become the solemn Christmas carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. In this poem, you can hear the joy and peace that Henry has at the birth of his Savior and his death on the cross. But you can also hear the sorrow, the grief, and the pain he suffered through the tragedies of this life. And there you can feel the effect of sin, death, and Satan's tyranny on his life. I want you to hear the words of his poem. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black, accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. In the final verse, you can hear him see that there he hopes that this life would have peace. But he knows the right of his Savior, the righteousness he holds. You see, our sin and death harkens a sorrow and a grief, especially for many this time of year, as loved ones who have passed aren't here with us. Some who died around the holiday or another holiday, or some who died throughout the year. We miss them, their laughter, their voice, the songs on their lips that praise the Savior. For Henry, the death of his wife, and later the death of his second wife, as he would have to care for 6 children of theirs, weighed a lot on him. Then for his eldest, who felt it was his duty to go to war in the Civil War, would fight. And there almost died. And Henry himself, disfigured, would see on his face the effect of sin and death, and would hide it away behind a beard until the day he died. We too feel the weight of sin and death. We, as the prophet remind us, are those who walk in darkness, who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. But see, the Lord doesn't leave us in the darkness of sin and death and Satan's tyranny. The great tragedies of this life, the wars that echo around the world and throughout history and time, the death of those we miss the most, the burdens of this life's yoke, the rod of our oppressor, of Satan and his tyranny, and the death that beckons all of us to our final breath to be martyred with all the saints. We don't stay in that darkness, and that's where the words of the prophet brings us hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You see, in this life, we look around us and we see the tragedies, the destruction, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the illness, and the death. The wars, the fighting, the arguments, we see it. And we wish that there would just be peace. Even within households this time of year, it seems the holidays add stress. We wish that the arguments within the home would end and there would be peace here on earth. But as Henry knew, and as Christians and believers throughout all of history have known, peace in this life is hard to come by. But you see, God comes to those who dwell in darkness. And there it is, a child given and born for them, the son of a virgin, who, as he told us in the readings just the other day, he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Because this life is not where his peace reigns. He's not the one leading the earthly government, so he is the one from which their earthly power comes and the one to whom they are beholden. He didn't come to bring peace that would pass away. He came to bring peace that would last forever. That is why the psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. For the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. This is your God, the one who brings joy, the one who judges not by our evil deeds, but by the blood of the Savior to come, by his righteousness and his love, given through his peace and hope in the promises he gives you in his word, the joy that flows from the Lamb who was slain, who was born in a manger, was born of the Virgin and laid in a manger. He is the one who died for you. That little babe who was laying there in the manger is the babe who would grow up to go from the wood of the manger to the wood of the cross on which he died to bear your sins as any lamb who was slaughtered. As I told the Bible study this morning, I told them they'd get a few secrets this morning of what was coming. As we'll read of the shepherds and of the story here in a moment again, Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths, strips of cloth meant to protect and bind to keep him warm. And very well being a manger, they could be the swaddling cloths used with baby lambs as people would travel. The shepherds would travel with their sheep as there would be new lambs to be kept safe. In the manger would lay the Lamb of God who would die for you. See, the shepherds would wrap their lambs to protect them from being slain by their enemies, the bears, the wolves, and all the wild beasts that would seek to devour them. Our lamb was bound so that there he would grow up to fight off our enemies, those who would seek to devour and destroy us for all eternity, that he would die on the cross, crushing the head of Satan, destroying sin and death as he bears your sins on the cross and covers them in his blood. This is the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who was spoken of, sung out by the angels, the one we see in Bethlehem. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And something there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You see, the shepherds, they waited with everyone else who lived in Israel. They waited for their Savior, the one who many women wondered, "Will I be the virgin to carry this child before they would get married?" There it is. They waited, though the shepherds in their day and age weren't highest on the totem pole, lepers being lower than them, and tax collectors soon by. They weren't looked the most highly upon. They were in the darkness of society, outcast at the edges. But yet, the Lord's coming to break the darkness. And we see Him doing this. We see Him breaking the darkness as He comes out of the silence that He had given for His people. For they had been exiled and returned and exiled and returned, and then they're given the prophets to speak to them, and they didn't want to listen. So He said, "No more, you have the prophecy, and the Savior will come, and then I will speak." And so He speaks to Elizabeth, to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds. He speaks to the prophecies, to the wise men who listened and followed the star that would lead them at Epiphany to the house where Mary and Jesus and Joseph were staying. You see, no matter how deep the darkness is that lies around you, the life that is Christ your Savior, the reason we light these candles this evening, remind us of the light that is Christ our Savior. That is the light that is given to you in your baptism, as you are named a child of the Heavenly Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As His Spirit comes and lives in you, there it is, the light of Christ shines forth from the darkness of sin and death and Satan's tyranny and all the darkness that fills this world because of it. That light is Jesus Christ, your Savior. The babe seen by the shepherds. The babe whose mother hears the promise of what is to come. And yet still bears it all up with wonderment and joy, clinging to the promise of salvation, clinging to the promise of forgiveness, clinging to the promise that there will be life everlasting and a peace that will never end. There's another man who lived in the 1500s, a few hundred years before the other poet. So this one you might know a bit more intimately per the name of our church, Martin Luther, who wrote our hymn of the day. The first five verses of this hymn, "From heaven above to earth I come," were intended to be a reminiscence of the joyful proclamation of the angels at the wondrous news of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. The news that they bring, the good news, the gospel that is brought to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph, to all who would hear the shepherds going back to their flocks that night. And there, the remaining stanzas are the response of the shepherds, and in turn, also much our response of the Savior's birth, sharing with the world the great news of salvation, praying to God and rejoicing in his promises. And here it is, the words in verse 5 and 6 and so forth. I want you to hear. "These are the signs that you shall mark, the swaddling clothes and the manger dark. There you will find the infant laid, by whom the heavens and earth were made. How glad we'll be to find it so. Then with the shepherds, let us go to see what God for us has done in sending us his own dear Son. Come here, my friends. Lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Who is this child, so young and fair? It is the Christ child lying there. Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me." You see, we live in this life, and there's much given to us. Life's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard to get up for school, to take those tests. Sometimes it's hard to get up for work and listen to your boss, or if you happen to be the boss, sometimes it's hard to get up and tell others what to do. And if you work for yourself, maybe it's hard just to get up and be motivated to go and do what you need to do. This life isn't always easy. Even when we're in the stages where we get to be in retirement, sometimes it's hard to find what we want to do. Sometimes it's hard when we're sick or ill to figure out how to work through the burden and be the one cared for rather than the one doing the caring. The darkness is all around us. Yet there's moments in life when God reminds us of the light. You know, when little children are born, what's one of the things people say of that child when they see it for the first time? "Aw, look how perfect they are." Now the fact is, we know that not to be true, for all people are born in the darkness of sin and death. But what are we seeing in that moment? A glimpse at the light that flows from Christ, our Savior. See, when we see that perfection shimmering on the face of that child, what we are seeing is a glimpse at the Savior who is laid in the manger. A reminder that our God came into our flesh so he could bear our sins and die, to yank us out of the darkness that we are born into, and give us, as he would share that misery, to bear the sinful world, that there he would take on death so that he could rise from the grave and share his joy with you, to give you life everlasting, that one day you will see your Savior return. And as he rose from death, there too that babe who was in the manger who died for you will raise you from death and give you life that will never end. So when we look for peace in this world, It's one of the hardest things right now listening to the news. Because so many people look at what's going on out east in modern day Jerusalem and Israel, Palestine and Hamas. And there they've made a God out of a place, forgetting who the God who created them really is. They speak of how the God who brought peace should give them peace on earth, despite the fact that he tells them that's not what he came to do. But yet the war they're fighting is a prediction of his return. The salvation came to Israel when God had said it right. He came to be the Savior for all people. And he will return as he's promised. But rather, the new Israel over there, not God's new Israel, but the earthly new Israel, is made right. Whether those battles end one way or the other does not bear our salvation. We should not hang our hat on it. What we can hang our hat on is that the Christ child, born of Mary, is your light and the peace to those who walk this earth, who once walked in darkness, but now have the marvelous light of Christ their Savior to guide them through this valley of the shadow of death, as David would remind us. There it is. That light will guide you to the day when Christ will return. And there, from death, he will raise you and give you life everlasting. As you will look into the face of that Savior who is your life forever, in the new heaven and the new earth for which he has prepared for you. And there you shall find his peace, his government, that the Father has promised and given to him, so that he has a place for you at his table. A place for you in the Father's house, that you will stand on the shores of his kingdom, before his throne, face to face with the babe who once lied in the manger, and now is the man who died for you, and rose and ascended, and has risen you from death, that he may share his joy with you forever. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.